Welcome to episode 16 of the For the Gram podcast. Dom and I just got back from a
f*** you.
I just shit myself.
I peed a little.
Oh my God.
I'm too drunk for this shit, man.
That one has to go behind the paywall, so people gotta hear to pay that.
Welcome to the For the Gram podcast, a podcast on how to grow your social media and small business. Join us as we discuss how we've used Instagram to grow our small businesses and form a social community. Learn how we created partnerships with each other and formed relationships with brands. Whether you want to take your business or social media to the next level, or just looking for a fun and lighthearted podcast about the everyday, this is the For the Gram podcast. I'm Vic from The Stump Shop, and joining me are Dom from M-Inspired Living and Mark from Remarkable Woodworks. We hope you enjoy the episode and tune in next time to the For the Gram podcast.
Welcome to episode 16 of the For the Gram podcast. I'm Vic from The Stump Shop, joined by my boys Dom and Mark. This week we're going to be talking a lot about meetups, conventions, and conferences. Is it worth it? Should you go? And our thoughts on them. Before we get into that, we were at Workbench. We just got back and we missed you, Mark. We really did, man. Your name came up a lot, mostly from people saying, who the hell's Mark you keep talking about, right? Yeah. So
figured
we have to explain who you were. He's the re in redick, but it was good, man. It was a good time. And I think everyone in that whole community of us makers, whether you were at Workbench or you just followed through all everyone's stories and all that, I think people are in that same vibe right now where they miss it. They just kind of keep messaging people that you were hanging out with and just kind of trying to keep that little, circle or community tight. Hey, Dom, you feeling that?
Yeah, for sure. It was, again, our second time there and it was a good time again. We learned a lot, met a lot of good people. We saw a lot of old friends. We made some new friends. I mean, I've said this before many times. I think a lot of it is that's what it's about. That's the biggest benefit of these types of events, right?
Let me ask you this then. When you go down to any of these conferences, whether it's the show that we went to in Toronto or Mark, I know you work at a lot of these conventions in the city and all that. Do you guys set real expectations for yourself? Like, are you going there saying, I'm going to be leaving, whether it's the home show, whether it's the conference we just left? Are you leaving? Are you going there with a realistic mindset, or do you really feel like you're going to be leaving there as a changed, a new person with so much more info? Like, what do you tell yourself heading to these things? Mark, I'll just throw it out to you.
When I go to the home show, not really, cause like I'm kind of doing a lot of presentations and stuff, but when we went to Workbench last year, I was looking for that. Like I really, really wanted to go into the classes and like Dom was asleep on my shoulder before most of them even started. And then, you know, I'm sitting there taking notes and like trying to have like takeaways and stuff. And I just think like, the key to happiness is low expectations, man. You just got to go in and just let it happen, I think. But I do think that you can get something from going from conferences, like whatever you're interested in, whether it's, you know, woodworking or, you know, investing in your home or cinematography, whatever it is, like definitely go and kind of find out what's new and what's trending in whatever you're interested in, whatever niche that is. But yeah, I don't think that like, I don't think I go in with any expectations on trying to like come out a better person or anything like that. Dom?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's important to remember, especially for, you know, people that might be going to one of these type of things for the first time, that you shouldn't go in there looking for, you know, the magic answers, that you're going to walk in there and walk out, whatever, a day, 2 days, 3 days later, and suddenly you know all the answers. I mean, no matter what you're doing, it's hard work and there's work to be put in. There's no shortcut to success. And whether that's, you know, being a content creator, being a better woodworker or whatever, there's no shortcut. It involves hard work. So if you're going in there thinking, oh man, I'm going to spend this money. I'm going to go here for 3 days, but when I leave, I'm going to have all the answers. It doesn't work that way.
Right? That's honestly one of the misconceptions. I think that most people, especially we always mention starting out, meaning you just started, whether it's your small business or you just hopped on social media. We always say to those that are just starting out, I think that's one of the most common misconceptions or misperceptions or whatever. One of those misses that, you know what I mean? One of those misses that you're going to go there and
Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's one of those Mrs. Doubtfires that you're going to go there leaving.
Oh, I love that.
Speaking of someone new, Mrs. Doubtfire, you're thinking you're going to go there as a dude leaving as an old woman.
You're going to come out an old lady.
I'm sure there's some confidence.
Somehow you're going to be a lot cooler, though, when you leave that place, right?
You know what it is for me, though? I'll tell you that it's maybe because I've been to them and now I know what to expect. To me, what's incredible about it is hanging out with the same people that you're in that world, like-minded individuals for 3 full days that they get what you do in that world. And then everyone goes back to their own world. But that to me is honestly the best part of it. And that's not just in our industry. Let's say, you know, motorcycle enthusiasts, you go to a motorcycle convention, you're with motorcycle heads for 3 straight days. I don't know anything about them, but I'm sure they're doing their own thing, right? Yeah. That's, I don't know, man. I find that to be the best takeaway.
You know what? I have to say that, I mean, if you go to these type of things that do have seminars and that sort of stuff, there is great information to take away from a lot of them. And you do come out with a lot of tidbits that will help you, you know, further yourself and further your business. But really, I think the best help that you're going to get is in those social situations and hanging around with all of these like-minded people. I think
and
that's
picking the brain 100%.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Like you're there, for example, Vic and I were just down there in Atlanta, and just the chance to get to hang around with guys like, you know, Donnie and the Wood Pastor and Jericho Holm. That
like people
picking
and
those
pages
guys
that you
brains,
respect, right?
Yes, right? Yeah. And the guys that you know, maybe you've talked to and you follow along with and you like what they do. Having even 10 minutes one-on-one with one of those guys face-to-face, I think helps you huge in understanding, you know, what they do and how they're successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I would 100% agree. And those are the places where you can do that stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially the home show, like if you see Canadian celebrities are like nothing up here, but, you know, well, no one really knows who Canadian celebrities are. But if you see one of them on the street, you're kind of more inclined to be like, ah, do I really want to walk up to them and ask them for a selfie? But when they're at the home show, like that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Right. And same with these big accounts. Like I remember when we were down in Atlanta last year, you know, you could walk up to these accounts that we like, I don't know if we put them on pedestals or anything like that, but it feels weird, right? When you're standing in line and you look over your shoulder and you're like, whoa, this guy's account has like 2 million followers or something like that. And they're just shooting the shit with you like they're regular people because they are. So at those conferences, those are the best times to like just kind of casually start, you know, creating a conversation and then maybe picking their brain.
I'm going to totally agree with you guys because Dom and I have mentioned this before. Like that is one of the best parts, but can I just throw this out there? I am a nerd at these conferences. I actually enjoy looking at the schedule, seeing who's talking, the classes, and kind of, I look forward to picking the ones I'm going to go to. And no, I don't show up with a notepad. I don't, you know, come in with a recorder, but
yo, shots fired. I'm sorry, man. That was one time.
Yeah, it's just calm down, man. You got to go to these, you know what, next year I'm handcuffing all of you. We're all walking in one line into all of these classes together. So no questions asked. But even if it's someone that you pick their brains through Instagram all the time or you watch all of their YouTube videos, I still think going to their classes live, it's going to give you something that you can't get through a 15-second story or even in a DM. Like if someone asks me, for example, a question, man, do I do my best to answer them? But it's going to be a couple paragraphs at the most. But if someone pulls me aside at one of these shows and is like, Vic, blah, 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 whatever the question is, you're getting a lot more than a couple paragraphs. And that's what I'm looking forward to from other, like Mark said, bigger accounts. Not that the size matters, but maybe the size shows how long they've been doing this, more experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my biggest takeaways from going to these conventions, and I'll just use Workbench as an example because the three of us went down together last year, is hearing people curse. I love hearing people curse for the first time. When, like, it's just so weird when you meet somebody and you're like, you're able to not be Story Mark for a second, and then you hear like somebody just say the F word. I just love celebrating those things. That is my biggest takeaway. Well, hey, worth the money. Go anywhere, but just corner somebody
for them to go listen a couple to thousand bucks to go hear somebody say fuck.
Everyone can has
say that. Hey, we got to
charge for this episode, man. Actually, you know what's funny you mentioned that? You know what I did learn this week? And this is confirmed. Talking to two separate brand representatives, do not... Okay, how do I put this nicely? Don't be an idiot in your stories. Don't swear if that's the image you're trying to portray. Two separate brands told me you have to be highly careful of how you conduct yourself in your stories if you do ever plan on working with them. Don't get me wrong, be yourself, do that and all that, but don't be an idiot, right? Especially if you're trying to portray yourself as a public figure with air quotations, you know?
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, they're public brands. They have an image to maintain, and, you know, you have to be cognizant of that and respect that, right? I think there's very, very few brands out there that, you know, would be okay with that sort of, you know, rough around the edges style.
Gary
Vee
is the only one that can get away with it, basically. You know, like any brand he works with just comes to expect it. But, anyways,
The three of us swear like truckers when we're not on here, but we just do it out of respect. Like, I don't curse in my stories out of respect for my audience when they're watching their stories around children or something. Like, that's the only reason why I don't do it. Like, and I don't engage in accounts that, you know, curse a lot just because I want to be able to listen to my stories if my kid's around, and I don't want to have to, you know, explain to her what the F word means.
Well, for sure. And I think that's one thing all three of us can say, that we keep our accounts pretty PG, right?
Family oriented, for sure.
Yeah, but no one listens to this podcast anyway, so we can say fuck as much as we want. And
nobody's gonna shit, bitch, fuck shit.
That might be slightly over the top.
That's the one where we
don't celebrate it.
Yeah, that's the one.
But on that topic, let me ask you this, Vic, because I mean, you were there.
Hold on. I'm not ready.
Yeah. Give Mark a minute here.
Oh, I love it. I love hearing people swear. I don't know what it is. Everyone needs a hobby.
$10,000 next year to go to some conference.
Can I continue Australia. Now?
Okay, go
on. Here's my new goal for 2021. I want to hear Tyson Moore.
No.
It'll swear.
No. He's the nicest man in the universe.
I know. That's why I want to hear him.
He's actually the kindest soul I've ever met, you know? Like, I wanted to make his coffee when he was standing
beside
him.
When I met him last year, I'm 90% sure he said that he just jogged here after he saved 10 kittens from a tree and was overseas building schools for uneducated children.
Nicest guy. I always love seeing that
uneducated
guy.
Well, they're uneducated because they're not in schools, but Tyson
hit it with a mallet. Always a highlight, man. Always a highlight seeing Tyson.
Yeah.
Right up there with Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. will you get on with
the hell were we talking about?
Yeah. What I was gonna say before you interrupted me is I noticed this year, and I want to get Vic's opinion on this, that there was a lot of families this year, right? Like makers, like either entire families of makers, or like dads with their sons or daughters that are makers, and they do it together, right? Did you notice that this year?
I did notice more of it this year for sure. And it actually, at one point, it made me wonder, does it go back to what Mark always stressed about over explaining yourself to your family and just making sure they're so involved in this whole process that people are now just like, screw it, I'm just bringing them with me. That way I don't have to go, like, I don't have to justify what I'm doing. Come with me and learn yourself, or hang out with with the team, right, or whatever.
And we've said it before, that's the best, like, it's the only place where you can actually not feel guilty for being on your phone in a public place.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe, who knows, if you're getting, you know, crapped on from your significant other from always being on your phone or something, like, come down, come take a look, see what this community is all about. And then, yeah, you know, they might start creating an account there and, you know, getting involved.
Because, and joining in. Yeah. It's
yeah, funny. Who knows
what I actually happen. Got less screen time. I got a notification on my phone. My screen time, whatever percent it was, went down significantly this weekend.
I'm curious, what is your normal screen time hourly?
I don't know.
They wanted to make sure everything was okay, right?
Yeah. Apple wants to make sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You're running both those phones hard into the ground.
Like, your watch isn't on your wrist. We can't tell. Are you okay? Are you alive? You know, if otherwise. No, but that's one thing. Actually, Dom and I touched on this in our live last night, but that live has disappeared. So we might as well talk about it in this episode. Is when everyone is together from this content creation world, we like to kind of portray ourselves as part of, there was way less people using their phones, and there was, stories were being done, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like you would have expected, like, people were on their phones or doing stories nonstop. Like, yeah, there was periods where I would look over at certain makers whose story 25 times a day.
Everything, yeah.
And I didn't see phones in their hands for, like, entire lunches and then through entire classes. And obviously everyone then went back to their room and was, you know, playing catch up. But I don't know, it was also kind of comforting knowing, hey, Dom's not posting today and all over Instagram. I don't have to be either. Yeah. Or neither is that guy. It's kind of like, you know, you all kind of take that weekend off, right?
I think that it helps that most of the people you're storing for are in the same room as you anyway. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah. But do you feel like did you have time to do it? Because when I'm at the home shows, like, I go in there with intentions of, like, I'm going to make this video, that video, I'm going to talk about this, and then you get pulled in like 17 different directions, and you don't at the end of the day you're like, well, that was a quick 12 hours, okay, and then you end up storying for the sake of storying, which it's like up there on my pet peeves.
You're gonna tell us the weather.
Yeah,
no, or like, you know what? I will
day of the
say...
week it is, the weather, what time it is, what you had for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't care.
Like, yeah,
I will say the time there flies by, right?
I care about everyone.
I'm here for the following.
I'm here for those that Mark doesn't care about. And then if I really don't care about you, I'm shoving you over to Dom, you know?
That's what I'm here for.
What were you saying before we rudely interrupted you?
I don't know, you two idiots.
But
no, I know what I was saying. The time it does, it flies by at something like that because you're so caught up and you know what? It's a very regimented schedule. So, like, you get up, you got to get, like, I'm going to take Workbench, for example, you got to get there for breakfast, and then they have speakers, and then you go to your class, and then you have just a little bit of time to eat, and you want to go, you know, talk with the brands and network. And then you got another, and next thing you know, it's 9 o'clock at night. And you haven't pulled your phone out to do the, you know, 25 stories that you had planned on doing.
And you know what the thing is with stories too? This is actually another tidbit of info for the gram. I read recently I don't know if it was an article or if I heard it on another podcast or whatever, but a huge percentage of people, and I think I'll just throw out like 80%, okay? This is just a wild, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they don't listen to people's stories if there isn't write-ups or captions or at least a couple tags or kind of also some visual stuff that goes along with you, with your face just talking. So the reason I'm saying this is when you're in a public event like this, or even when you're out with your family or whatever, everyone always says, oh, it's 15 seconds. So you bust out your phone, you do the quick 15 seconds. If you're known as a storier, then it's easy to get people involved. Guys, I'm doing a story. Everyone plays their part. But for me, I'm not satisfied pressing post. So I press save, and I want to add those captions. Yeah. I want to put a little story, almost like subtitles. So there you go. Next thing you know, that could turn into maybe between 1 and 5 minutes per 15-second story. And I know it's true because I've seen Dom sometimes, you know, fumbling over one story for a good couple of minutes. So that's why when you're in these events, you're filming, you're saving. Eventually, I end up with so much footage on some days that I don't even post, right? Because I want each one to kind of tell a story as opposed to just post.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's like when someone's at a hockey game and I'm watching their stories. And to me, from that seat watching the hockey game, 20 stories in a row looks exactly the same thing. Like, I don't care what's happening on the ice. But if one of your stories said, holy crow, check out this goal, or now the score is in some colorful letters, personal opinion is I would much highly appreciate that instead.
Yeah, 100%. I would agree. And I can back that up.
That takes you away from the game, right?
No, but as a consumer, like someone who's like consuming your stories, I will back that up just because I always start my stories out the same way. What up, Gramly? Yeah. And I noticed that I'll have like the same amount of views or people that watch the stories. But if I start it like last week, for example, I just full on started it with like, I didn't even do the what up, Gramly thing. And it doubled. Legit, like whatever my normal, like normally it's around like 2,000, 3,000 people that'll watch. I had like 4,000 or 5,000. First time I've ever had that many people view my story.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, that is a lot for a story.
I was like blown away. I was blown away. So moral of the story is Dom's right. Dom, Vic's right. Moral of the story is Vic's right.
Yeah. So when your numbers doubled, it's because you spruced up your stories, or you just kind of, it wasn't boring content.
I don't know. Well, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Are you saying his content is boring?
No, not
people
at all.
Are I sick kind of my ugly face, I guess. I don't know.
I missed his how he doubled. That's a juicy tidbit. We need to know what suddenly got him all those extra views, right? That's
exactly
what, we share
what
with
you just said. I started my story out. Like I saved my story, and instead of doing like the whole what up Gramly intro, I forgot to
do it. Write it out instead and like
I wrote down, I'm like, this is what I'm doing, and then did some hashtags, and then all of a sudden I go back in and look at it. I'm like, what the hell? And I had, like I said, like double what I normally have on my story views. So I just, I chalked it up as like either luck or like that I hit on that hashtag or something. But what you're saying makes total sense. Someone's way more likely to engage or like think that they want to watch this if it's written or there's something else to kind of catch their attention. Why are you waving at me, bro?
This guy really asked,
because I
want to
get
something.
A word in.
So then put your hand up like we normally do.
That's what I did for five minutes, but it wasn't working.
You just did SOS with finger puppets.
I can already hear the sirens outside my house. No, what I was going to say is I've noticed a few people do it, and I like it, and I may try it as well. I've noticed some people in their stories will write out sort of a summary of what they actually said in that story.
Yeah.
Almost like subtitles, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's almost word for word. It's not quite word for word. It summarizes it. But I've been noticing more and more people doing that. And I think that that's a really smart idea.
But it makes sense, like, if I'm trying to ignore my wife or you guys while we're recording and I'm on, like, looking at stories, I'm looking at stories and the sound's off. So I can still kind of, like, I'm more likely to stay on that page or whatever, you know, while someone's squawking in my ear or trying to slap me in the face through my computer screen. Dumb.
I've heard people tell me that before, like, a long time ago. And now I just heard this new info recently where, like, this percentage is so high. But I've had people tell me about a year ago, like, dude, I never listen to your stories. People tell me you've got some funny ones, but unless it tells me what it is, I'm sorry, I'm not even listening. Like, I mean,
hilarious.
It doesn't bother me. Like,
that's hilarious.
I don't care, but I mean, guys, I have a voice. I want people to hear my voice.
I think that's most people. Like, you have a limited amount of time in your day to do all the things you have to do in life, right? So, I mean, you get that little bit of time to check stories and stuff, and I think a lot of people, and it's no offense meant to anybody, but a lot of people will tap through until something catches their eye.
Right, a scroll stopper, right? Something that stops you from scrolling or tapping. And but anyways, just to bring it back to this episode's topic, the three of us here, imagine seeing us at a conference and just having a random question about Instagram. Bam, you would have just got that live 10, 15 minutes of us talking to you, no problem, versus any one of us in a DM or in an email. It's limited what we can say, but that's a big valuable part of attending these conferences and meetups is meeting each other, right?
Do you ever feel like when you're at, Vic, if you're at the job, or Dom, you're doing whatever it is that you do, you ever feel like people will come up to you and ask you tips on Instagram just because of like your audience?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yes. Yes. All the time, actually.
Yeah, it happens to me a lot too. And it's one of the for real, it doesn't?
No, it does actually. Yeah,
you just
does.
You just bully me.
I don't. I want to be.
It's 2020, and you're over here bullying me.
I'm not bullying. Actually, wasn't today the Wear Pink Day or something? Yeah. Is that tomorrow?
Yeah, no, it was today.
Totally today. Today
I'm not
of all
bullying
days.
You. I like to be humble. Okay, I'll just say it. Yeah, it happens once in a while, but yeah, people always bother me.
I was segueing into a compliment because it's one of the things that I like about you two is that I'm able to like get opinions instead of just give. What I think, like advice, or like, does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, people ask me all the time. And I mean, I always start that conversation with, look, this is my opinion. This is what I do. This is what's worked for me. And no way does it mean it's the right. Like anybody that will tell you, I mean, especially when it comes to social media and growing, that. They have the way to do it. And if you do it their way, it's going to work. That's a lie. I don't believe that because
there's no secret formula.
That's right. You need to find your voice and what worked for, you know, person A worked because they had their voice and you're not that. So it's like, you might get lucky and it might work for you, but there's no guarantee. Right. So I always 100%. Preface those kind of conversations with, you know, take it with a grain of salt. This is what I do. This is what I find works, you know, and I'm happy to share all of that, right? Like I have no secrets.
Just don't expect it to be. It's like attending a conference. Yeah. First of all, don't expect it to bam. It's not going to change your life suddenly. If you start doing those things I'm telling you to do in a story, right?
That's but
right.
It's again, funny.
There's no magic formula that.
Yeah.
Right.
But, and that's what I think a lot of like when we're talking about conferences and home shows and I'm at the home show and people will be like, ask me for advice or something. And then they'll ask, you know, where can I contact you? I'll give them my Instagram. And then all of a sudden the conversation turns from like, how do I install baseboard to like, well, you have X amount of, how did you do that? Like what?
Yeah.
So like, if I pay you, can you do that? I'm like, no, you're not me. Like I I'm not you. Like I can't mirror what I did on my page to your page and have the same, you know, success. And I can't sell you that either because I'm going to fail. So like,
and it's just a lot of hard work, man.
Oh,
like,
man.
No matter what, whether you have your individual formula to grow your account, obviously I have my, not even secrets. I mean, we talk about them all the time, but I have my way of growing my socials and it's just ultimately a lot of work, man, dedication. And then anyways, can I ask you something, Mark? Cause you weren't at Workbench this year and something came up. It came up in a question last night in the live and then Dom, Rob, and I think Tom was there too when we had this discussion at Workbench. Someone asked us, so did you only hang out with the more popular accounts in quotations, air quotations, or did you actually hang out with the, what was the word, Dom, like newcomers or up-and-comers or people that just entered, okay?
So that was a good question.
The reason I'm saying that is, though, because there's it all ties into Instagram, okay? Mark, I'm kind of leading you down a path here, but I want to hear what you think of the fact that, let's say you look over at Dom and I as one of our followers and you weren't really one of our friends also, okay? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, so you know of Dom and I, and we're hanging out with, a couple of the bigger accounts, the ones that we came up with, right?
Yeah.
I would hope that doesn't rub anyone the wrong way saying, hey, look, they're not coming over and hanging out with the guys that have 100 or 200 followers because that has nothing to do with it, the number of followers. It's just, I may not know you.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Like, I might just not know who you are. So why would I not hang out with my friends that we all grew up in this together?
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Mark? I'm kind of asking you what your opinion would be on if someone asked you, like, basically, hey, how come you're only hanging out with that crowd?
I don't think it's like clicky. And just for context here, like, or context
for your contacts,
just for Mrs. Doubtfire here, this is the first time I heard this question, so like we didn't like this. From what I understand, you're asking me if I went to Workbench and I noticed that you know, the bigger accounts that have 100,000 followers only hung around with the 100,000 followers, or the YouTube people only hung out with the YouTube people, would I like then be upset about it?
Not upset, but would you feel like
left
like,
out?
Oh, I came to this conference with the intention of meeting those people, and look, they're just hanging out with their people. By theirs, I mean like within a couple of, you know, within a couple tens of thousands of followers of each other or whatever. Or even see, just at the same level in a certain YouTube growing or whatever that is, right? Like,
I don't know. I would look at it as like if I wanted to be Dick, if I wanted to be Vic and Dom, and I saw them there talking to each other, I would go up and introduce myself for sure and just kind of like pay homage, you know, and say
calm down. No one needs to pay homage to...
I honestly don't even know what that means. I heard it from a Jay-Z video or Jay-Z song, so I just threw it out there.
I think that pretty much means like you're... I don't actually know what the hell that means either. I think it just sounds means showing too respect. Good for
it, it means something that nobody would ever have to do for any of us.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if I go down to Atlanta and I see somebody that I follow all the time or whatever, and I see that they're conversing with people that have the same amount of followers or in and around the ballpark, I would just assume that they listened to all the other, you know, advice that we got 4 years ago when they said, create a tribe, you know, start making these friends. And then it's just, it almost turns into like high school really without the drama or whatever, but like, you're just, you get to see these people or talk to these people online. Of course, when you go down, you're only there for 3 days and half of it is taken up by taking classes. Of course, I'm going to want to talk to people that I have relationships with. Doesn't mean I don't want to like create new relationships with people.
Yeah, you're definitely going to gravitate to those people that you spend the most amount of time with. That's normal. It's like anything in life. But I think the important thing is that whoever you are, whether it's Vic and myself and yourself, that, like, I mean, we're happy to talk to anybody that wants to talk, right? I think
100%.
I think we're more than happy that anybody wants to hear that, you know, us say the stuff that we say, right?
I was humbled by anyone who knows my name that isn't my mom.
Absolutely. Like, anybody. Yeah, that's right.
My mom doesn't even know my name. She still calls me Vicky. But anyways, that is my name in Hungary.
I think that that's what's important is to remember that, and I speak from experience, that all of these people are very open to being approached and chatting, right? And I think that what happened to Vic?
He's sleeping. He fell asleep on his mic. His mic is now his pillow.
He was tired.
I think a lot of it is our community too, though, right? Hey, Vic.
Can you hear me?
I wonder that sometimes if there's other communities, how they interact with each other. And
there's not a lot of douchebags in our community. Like honestly think about it, there's might be a handful, but if you go into like the fitness community of IG, I would imagine that there's a lot more egos in that space.
Yeah. Or any other community, right? Not to pick on fitness ones.
No. Popped into my head.
And you know what? There are ones in, if we're going to consider ourselves, obviously content creation is kind of the umbrella, but under that, woodworkers, if we're talking about the woodworking contractors world.
We'll just say tools, people that use tools.
Yeah, okay. So just tools, basically, if you're in the world of tools, there are a lot of dicks. I'm sure there are. But they're not the ones that are coming to these conferences and want to legitimately see these people that you've been talking through Instagram or through whatever. Why would they come down there? Their whole point is just to be kind of trolly, right? They're not going to come down there and be they're not going to get anything out of this except to be kind of put in their place by a bunch of people that are doing it for the right reasons, right?
But then I'll ask another hypothetical, like am I going down there with the intention of just getting followers then? I'm going to pay $3,000-$4,000 to try and hopefully get exposure or more followers out of it.
I think there are probably people that are doing that.
That's might be where the key to happiness is low expectations. Yeah, that's exactly.
That's where Miss Doubtfire comes from. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're just totally getting this old dude in a dress syndrome. Like, if you go down there thinking that you're going to come out with 1,000 followers, 500, 4 followers, you know what I mean? You're going down for the wrong reasons, for sure.
First of all, it costs a lot of money to go for this specific one we went to. So what I would suggest is, if you're thinking of going next year, you've never been, we've been to 2 in a row now, I highly suggest that you really consider what it is you're going down there for. If you're going down there with the intention of building relationships with brands, I'm not here to say that's not the good venue for it, because it really is. You're talking face to face with the people that run the brands or the ones that run their social media accounts. However, you also have to understand there's a handful of brands and 500 people, right? So yeah. That's one way to look at it. And at the same time, if you're looking at it like, I'm going to go down there and every single person that I shake hands with is going to pull out their phone and start following me, that's not the right way to look at it either, right? Yeah. So, because, you know, you might, I mean, I gained a couple of followers from people that were like, hey, what's your handle? And I gave out a bunch of follows where it was like, you seem like a cool person. Yeah. I don't want to lose track of you, or I don't want to lose touch with you.
Yep.
Following someone on Instagram nowadays is like the old giving them your home number, because no one had cell phones or whatever, right? But I don't know. Just really consider what it is you want to get out of it. Because if you're going down for an overall good time, like a party, great time. But further than that, if you're justifying to your wife, for example, why you're spending $2,000 to $3,000, have some better reasons than, I want to hang out with, you know, the boys from the For the Gram podcast and have a beer, right? That will not cut it. So
we'll use Workbench as an example there. But what about like the Toronto home show? Like you guys went to the Toronto home show, and then there was like a huge meetup afterwards where there was like 100 people there, right?
That was sick.
Two different types of shows, right?
Yes, very different.
Would you say that you got the same thing out of both, or like, do you go into them with the same expectations? And just for context here, one is more of like a seminar type where like you sit in classes and try to learn, and the other is more of like you're going to see what's new in the industry and see different types of like
booths and
things, or like get inspired for different projects, or see what tools are out there, and you're basically being sold. You have to pay a ticket to go in and walk around and have a bunch of people ask you to purchase things.
It is. I mean, two different things. I think at the end of it, you do get a little bit of the same thing out of them. I mean, especially because in this case, you know, there was the meetup afterwards, so it gave you that social context to that.
But there's meetups after both. Woodworking show, right?
But that's what I'm saying, is the Toronto Woodworking Show wasn't just about going in there, seeing what's new in the world of tools, and then you go home, right? There was that social aspect to it.
And there were some brands there too, so you could go in and like talk about relationships and build relationships there too,
depending on where you are in your, you know, in your journey and in your
space,
I mean, even like Vic and I went into the woodworking show and we're walking around, and you know a lot of the brand reps, right, just from having spoken to them and made those relationships. So it's maybe a little different in that case as well, as opposed to just going in, you're someone new, you have a few hundred followers, and you don't know any of these people yet, right?
Well, do you guys do anything separately? Sorry to cut you off, Vic, but like anything at all, or are you like,
no, I can't remember the last thing though.
Okay.
No, okay.
So all those selfies of you in the bath, Dom was taking the pictures then, I guess, or
that was Dom. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's awkward. Cool though. Yeah. But the Toronto Woodworking Show, for example, I have to be honest, for me, I wasn't going down there necessarily to see what the latest saw is or the latest tools in certain brands, because I'm not doing this full time, right? I've said that 100 times. So to me, I don't really care if it's their newest technology, this and that. I was, to be honest, I'll throw it out there, more interested in going down there to talk to the brand reps. And I know in this environment, because it's aisle after aisle after aisle of booths, like in traditionally you go to these shows, you're going to see what they're selling. Can I get a good deal on the latest, whatever it is you need? my mindset is I'm going to go down there and try to.
How can I promote
get,
you?
Exactly. How can I get behind that table and go, like, remember that heater we saw, Dom? I'm not going to throw it names because I honestly don't remember the name, but this guy's trying to sell us this sick heater. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, dude, I want one of those for free and I'm going to blow you up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to not.
I'm going to help you.
I'm going to help you. I can't say blow you up, but I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, I want to buy one and I would if it wasn't so expensive, but how can I flip this to actually work with this brand, right?
Yeah.
And then the meetup after was, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to give a very honest opinion here now. I personally feel that, again, depending on where you are in, you know, in your space, I honestly feel that if that's what you're looking for, if you're looking to work with brands and do that sort of stuff, I think a show like the Toronto Woodworking Show that we were just at is going to give you a much better chance than something like Workbench.
Only so for local.
It's local, for the reason being that most people are those brands are all there. Like, there was more brands at the Toronto Woodworking Show. There was basically every brand was there.
I see where you're getting at. Yeah.
But the point is that most people are going to that Toronto Woodworking Show to talk to brands. They're going there to see the tools, as opposed to, you know, Workbench. It's great what they do and that they put this on. But you know what? Be realistic. This week, those brands are probably getting 1,000 messages from every single attendee that was at those shows saying, hey, I'm looking for product. And they're shaking, you know, however many tickets they sold for Workbench. If there was 500, they're shaking 500 hands in 2.5 days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're a very small fish in that big pool.
Yeah.
These smaller local shows, that's not what they're about. So if you're going out there and you're shaking a brand's hand and introducing yourself and saying, hey, by the way, I do this, I think you have a much better shot at making that connection, right?
That's and a good sticking, point, yeah.
And sticking in their minds, right?
100%. If you go in there and they're trying to sell all day, sell, then all of a sudden they're getting sold. Right.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, who is this guy? Like, that tried to sell me, like, what? Get out of here. Don't waste my time. But then like later on, you know what I mean? They're like, who was that short little bearded man that tried to tell me about Instagram again?
It was Papa Smurf.
Oh man, I'm going to start going to all these shows with him. But
100%.
Hold on 1 second. I'm just having a little mental lapse here. Hold on. I had a question.
Well, I'll fill it in by saying, like, I'm just going to follow up by saying, like, be aware of what it is that you're looking to achieve when you're attending these things.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't mean that just because it's not a conference that's marketed as a conference to, you know, make connections and grow your social media and work with brands and being it doesn't mean that the opportunity is not there to do that.
Yeah,
just because it's not marketed that way, right?
Love that.
I think from a small, like a small business perspective too, if you want to look at a local show, because Workbench is not catered as an Atlanta show. It's basically a national show, North American, right? All over America,
favored for Americans.
It is.
There's no Canadian. Definitely it is.
There's no Canadian.
But hang on. That's exactly, just let me get my point out there before you get mad at me.
Spit it out,
man. The point is, as a small business, it is important to go to these local shows because that's where you make those contacts, where someone that lives just 10 minutes away, 20 minutes away, as opposed to like down in Atlanta, hey, man, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Idaho. Like, where the hell is Idaho? I know where Idaho is. It's
everybody from Idaho is going to unfollow you now.
And
they're going to refuse to sell you. They're going to refuse to sell you potatoes from now on.
Oh, but that's another reason. Just go to your local shows. I see people all over Instagram always promoting small local meetups.
Yeah.
4, 5 people, 3 people, like us 3 dummies meeting up and having a beer. That is a meetup.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point, because I don't know how many people said to me, not just at Workbench, but all the time that I talk to, that'll message and say, man, I wish I knew some guys in my area, like you and Vic and Mark, that you got to get out there, and that's how you're going to meet these guys. Because I guarantee you,
they're
there, right? It's a matter of finding them.
But we connected on Instagram literally by doing the same thing. It was like the Southern Ontario Makers group, right? There was like 11 of us. And then we were the only three annoying ones. We got voted off the island, right? Like we had to form our own separate group.
Yeah.
They wanted us gone.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about hopping into the
mailbag? It's time for another mailbag. I'm gonna keep singing this song.
That was stupid. I shouldn't have went.
He's just getting better and better every week.
I was not gonna say that was stupid. That was actually very good, man. Very impressive.
I was into that.
Okay.
After that, I mean, it's hard for us not to dive right into the mailbag. This week,
episode's going to be nominated for a Grammy next year. I bet. Mark my words.
Is it for the editing or for the singing?
We're going to the Grammys next year.
I'm not editing a single thing in this episode. It's just going straight up afterward.
Well, no, you got to edit the F bombs.
No. Even the 45 minutes before we technically started recording. That's all getting released, folks. Special episode.
Right. Yeah.
So we are gonna answer Alex's question from Peach Tree Woodcraft. First of all, those of you that don't follow Alex. Yeah, exactly. Alex is such a good dude. Peach Tree Woodcraft. Look him up. He's been a big supporter. He's part of the tribe, you know. He knows what to say and what to do to fit right in. And he's just an overall good dude, right? He's a family man. What's one feature you wish Instagram had? Since I'm looking at Dom's big brown eyes, you go ahead.
I did not know where you were going with that compliment.
I just have to pick one of you.
So where Dom, do I go. Have? Where is my camera facing?
Okay, maybe I will edit some stuff out.
Oh boy!
I just knocked my microphone down. I'm laughing so hard.
Oh my god!
That's actually a good question though. There's so many, but that's a great role for the beginning of the program.
Oh man!
Will you answer the question?
All right, I'm getting to it. One feature, you know what I do? You know what I'd actually would really like to have? What would be great if they had some sort of like a favorites folder that you could like to take, not to save posts, but like say you could take your accounts that you really want to make sure that you're keeping up with.
You stole mine. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Inspire you the most, or right?
Or you can organize them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like these, like
always show me funny accounts.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean, like funny accounts or like carpentry accounts or woodworking accounts, and then whatever mood I'm in, I can go and just like hit the flavor of the week. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah. Because right now it's like Netflix. Like to find what you want,
you get on it. Right. You spend 45 minutes just cruising,
and then you go to bed without watching anything.
Yeah, right? You're sitting there scrolling through. It's Mrs. Doubtfire, Mrs. Doubtfire 2, Mrs. Doubtfire 3, Mrs. Doubtfire and her dog. Like it's the same thing. Yeah.
You know what? One feature I wish Instagram really had, and I mark my words. Okay, actually, mark my words. This is gonna happen. Okay. I'm gonna have to steal it from TikTok because I love the feature when you go to your on Instagram, I think it's a little heart or whatever that shows you activity.
Yeah.
But everything is in that one feed. Yeah. Followers, comments, likes. Yeah. I wish that could be broken up into at the top. You can flip it to just followers, just likes,
comments.
Or just comments. Because a lot of the times that only shows 100, by the way, guys. I don't know if you know that. So let's say I just posted a picture or a video that's doing well.
Yeah.
Those 100 comments are going to be likes within the first, you know, if I'm lucky, in the first few minutes, bam, that'll all be gone. Yeah. Now, if anyone commented to me 10 minutes ago on another post, that's gone. Like, I'll never see that unless I randomly find it one day. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I wish I could go there, click on comments, and then it showed me the last 500 comments or whatever that I may have missed, right? That's my one. So it's basically like a filter I wish Instagram had.
Yeah,
that's a really good one because you make a good point when you're getting a lot of engagement. on your latest post, it's fine because you're going back in and checking it. But sometimes you'll get those few comments that are on posts, you know, 4 or 5 posts back. And if you don't see it right away, it's gone. And, you know, you want to reply to that, right? And it's hard to go back into every post and see if you have any new comments there.
Actually, that's a good thing. You just made me think of that. I was going to ask you, Mark or Dom, do you guys ever go back to your posts and kind of, like, I'm talking sometimes, like one from like a month ago or two, and just like start reading if you've missed any comments or anything?
Never.
Mark deletes all his old posts. How do you never have over 20,000 followers with 20 posts?
Never.
Deletes all his old ones.
I do sometimes. I go back sometimes. Like if I've got time, I'll go back to back a week or so. I don't know if I ever go back a month, but I'll go back just to make sure I haven't missed.
I wish we had more control. Like right now, we're subjected to like what they're telling us. Do you know what I mean? Or like what they're doing. Like I just wish there were like even like a tip section where it was like, hey, here's a helpful hint. Do this if you want to do this. Do you know what I mean? Like it just
within the platform, like within Instagram itself.
Yeah, like maybe just like, you know how like sometimes when you like you buy a new iPhone and it's like and you update it and it's like here, like these are some steps that you bet you didn't know that your phone could do. I wish Instagram kind of did the same thing because then you like A, you keep up with kind of the algorithm changes. B, you can kind of like, I don't know, I just.
Maybe, yeah, a little or just find out what they've. What done new things or just drop overnight and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Or like just more like we've talked about it before. Like there's 3 different types of pages. Like what's the difference between being on a personal, a creator and a brand other than like you have to like say that you're working with a brand or whatever.
You have
like,
to do maybe a lot of off platform research if you want to know that kind of stuff, honestly. Yeah. Right?
And I just wish that like if I understand that they like maybe they do this stuff to kind of keep you on the platform more, but why not just have like a Instagram news or what's new happening? And instead of doing like going to ABC News to figure it out, then why don't you just, you know, like stay on the actual platform and read about it?
Well, another thing too is sliding left in messages to delete. Oh, I wish it was just a one swipe, man. They make you hop through.
Wow, you've thought hard about this one.
I try to keep my, I'm like Dom. I'm very neat and organized. I like to answer every message. If I've missed it, I've started using the flag feature a lot more. I'll flag a message and just so I remember to get back to it. But those that I just, like that double tap a story or whatever, and I really appreciate it. I always give them a heart back, but I wish I could just delete with a quick swipe left.
This would drive you nuts. Would that drive you crazy?
Put that away. Put that away.
It's been like I don't even need to see the number. Just that there's the little red dot there already drives me crazy.
This is already driving me crazy, and that's only 20 emails.
No. Yeah, I have.
That's like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown just knowing that you have that on your phone.
You know, I have to end this episode because I have to go answer these 20 emails and 2 messages. And only 8 messages on Instagram. So that's actually not bad. But I do get, I'm basically
because my numbers, I literally look at that. And it's like 305 emails. And like, it just doesn't bother me. But for whatever reason, if the number is like 1 on Instagram, then it, like, I have to check it right away. So I had to turn that off like forever and a day ago because
asked you to build me a deck in an email like 4 months ago. Why don't you check your emails?
Yeah, it's somewhere. I don't know. It's somewhere in there. I'll get to it.
I just built it myself and it collapsed.
Yeah.
Four people died trying to build that deck because you didn't get that email.
Man, too soon.
Too soon.
What do you say? It's like this is an awkward ending. I don't really know.
I think we're done here.
I'm just gonna hang up. Bye. It's not a touch screen. I'm touching my laptop screen trying to hang up on you guys. Damn it! How do I end this thing? It's my wife's computer. What do I do? Just close
tear.
Just
tear it off the wall.
He's gone. He actually left.
He's gone for real. He really did leave. Look,
he left.
The stump shop left. What a dick.
I guess. Okay, that's it. I guess I'll just hit the outro music.
That's it. We're done. Dun 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 dun. dun, 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 dun. Wait, isn't that a lullaby?
That was like go to sleep.
That must be like in my subconscious.
Yeah, I'm so tired now. All right.
I'm sad because Vic left and he's not going to sing that to me tonight now. All right, get out of here. Adios.
See you.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, let's go. Come on. I gotta get my beauty sleep.
Yeah. But Dolph, that's going to take a lot of sleep. Dolph's going to bed for the next 4 weeks straight. He's like
going to wake up in 2035.
No, I wish.
He's going to hibernate. 2035. Dom's gonna be like 97. You know, he'll be like Walt Disney, you know, coming cryogenic or whatever the hell it's called.